Turn with me in your Bible this morning to 1 Samuel. Let me find my text. 1 Samuel chapter 30. It's a message I have preached. I've got to where I make me a note when I've preached the message before, and it was back in, hard to believe, almost 5.5 years, soon be 6 years. But I just got to thinking about it this morning, and by the Lord's help, and I pray this is what he would have us to look at this morning, 1 Samuel chapter 30. It's the story of David in Ziklag. David was God's servant that he raised up, a man after God's own heart, and set him upon the throne. But also David was a man of like passions, just like us. He had fears and doubts. And God used a man named King Saul to make David. It says here in chapter 30, verse 1, it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. In verse 2, he had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Everything's gone. And David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, and in Ahim, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelites. So David was greatly distressed, for this people spake of stoning him, because the souls of all the people were grieved, and they're blaming David, and every man for his son and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, "Tell Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod." And Abiathar thought the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord and said, "Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." Remember, like I said, David was a man after God's own heart. And we go, how did David even wind up here? How did he wind up in a place called Ziklag, which is in the land of the Philistines? Well, if you go back to chapter 27, I'll show you. Verse 1. Now this comes, chapter 27. Refresh your memory. Comes after that David. You remember when David went down there into the camp of King Saul, and a deep sleep had come over the whole army. And David steals his spear and his helmet and his bolster and his water, and they leave. And David wakes them up, and he wakes Saul up, and Saul said, "Is that my servant David?" And he said, "Yeah." And he said to Saul's right-hand man, he said, "Why didn't you watch the king? Some man can walk right into the troop and the whole army, and he could have killed the king, and you were laying there asleep." But David and Saul talked. And David said, Saul said, you're more righteous than I am, David. And if you'll notice in the last verse of chapter 26, this is the last time David and Saul will ever speak. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. David goes on his way, and Saul returns to his place. Now, with that in mind, the last time they're ever going to speak, in verse 1 of 27, and David said in his heart, "I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul." Why would he think that? One day I'm going to perish by the hand of Saul. One day Saul's going to kill me. No, he's not. But he thinks this. One day I'm going to die. And you can imagine, I think it was Abishai that went in there into the camp with David. And Abishai said, "David, why don't you kill him? You can take his head off right now and you'll be done with Saul." David said, "No, I ain't going to touch God's anointed." And now, I don't know the time lapse from the end of chapter 26 to 27, but now David says, I'm going to perish at the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines. Here's what I'll do. Nowhere there does it say he sought the Lord. He says, I'll go and speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul, he'll despair of me then to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. So David arose, and he passed over with his 600 men. You always remembered whatever decision he made, those men went with him. Good or bad, they went with him. And Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. And David dwelt, what's this? And David dwelt with Achish of Gath, he and his men, every man with his household. Not only were there men, but their families, their children. This is a pretty great number. Even David with his two wives. Verse 6, and it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought him no more again for him. David's going, that's what I wanted. I wanted them to leave me alone. And Saul said, I ain't going to hunt him anymore. Let the Philistines have him. And David said unto Achish, if I've now found grace in thine eyes, let there give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there. And why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? And Achish gave him Ziklag. That's how he got Ziklag. Achish the king, he had favor with, David had favor with his king, and Ziklag pertained unto the king of Judah unto this day. And at that time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines, watch this, was a full year and 4 months. He stayed down there 16 months. Why did David go to Ziklag? That's why we ask the question, well, why did he wind up here? Why is David here? This is David. This is the man who killed Goliath, who was a Philistine. And now he's living with the Philistines. He's seeking peace among the uncircumcised because he was afraid. One day I shall perish at the hand of Saul. What's been going on for a year and 4 months? We don't have any record. But you know what I thought was ironic? Just to kind of give you an update. Look, we read in chapter 27. That's where he goes to Ziklag. You know what chapter 28's about? The whole chapter. You know what it's about? The Philistines are going to come against Judah, Israel. And Saul's going to have to fight. And who's going to help him? He seeks the Lord and God rejects him. Samuel's dead. There's nowhere to go. He goes to the witch of Endor. A whole chapter is recorded about what King Saul did. And all we read about David was for 16 months he dwells in Ziklag. But we know what King Saul did. And eventually, in chapter 29, is when Israel is going to fight the Philistines. And David is almost forced to go with the Philistines and fight Judah. And the only reason he didn't go was because of God's providence that says, the king said, we don't want David going with us. We know who he is. And he said to the king, you send him back to Ziklag. And that's what he did. And David and these men marched for 3 days. They're tired. Physically tired and wore out, and probably mentally and spiritually exhausted. Because you know what's going to happen in that battle that David didn't have to go fight? He says, one day I'm going to perish at the hand of Saul. In that battle, it's when King Saul and Jonathan and his sons die. You think how God spared David. You imagine David going into battle and Jonathan being killed. He loved Jonathan and he loved Saul. But God protected him and sends him back to Ziklag. What we see here is fear. And he's trusting on the flesh. And he won't call upon God. Galatians 5:6 says, "This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Confidence in the flesh always reveals itself in fear. David's eyes were on Saul, and he was struggling instead of submitting. He said, "You know what?" He said, "I want just a little bit of ease. Even if I have to go to the Philistines, I've got to have." That's what his Ziklag was. It was a rest to him. "At least I don't have to deal with Saul anymore. I'm just tired of dealing with him. Everywhere I go, he wants to kill me." When the Lord just showed him, he could have delivered Saul into his hand anytime he wanted to. David would not, after he cut off Saul's skirt, he would not kill that man. He said, "I won't touch God's anointed." You said, "How is he God's anointed?" He might be a lost man, but he was put in that position by God's, and by that he was God's anointed. David said, "I won't touch him." The powers that be are ordained of God. They are. God raises them up and he puts them down. God will take care of them. He will. He is delivered from having to fight the children of Israel. But you imagine this. They're walking, they're tired, and said, "I can't wait to see my wives. I can't wait to hug my children. I can't wait to get to Ziklag." And someone says, "What is that, David? That looks like smoke." And when they get there, the whole city's burned down. But the miracle is that there's not a bunch of dead bodies laying everywhere. The Amalekites are not known by showing mercy. They could have killed everybody. They could have killed the wives, the children, boys and girls. It didn't matter. But they spared them because God only wanted them to burn the city down. And you imagine while David's standing there in the ashes. You know why? God burned up his Ziklag. He burned it up. Who, while David's gone for 3 days, here comes these Amalekites. When we do not seek our comfort in and trust our great God, we soon seek comfort from somewhere else. David's trial had their perfect work. Can you imagine that? All them men, you imagine them standing there, Dan. He said they mourned, they wept where they couldn't weep anymore. They're all gone. And it's my fault. If I hadn't come here, this wouldn't have happened. It's my fault. And then everybody else said, "Yeah, it is your fault, David. Where's my wives at? Where's my children at, David? They're all gone. We don't know what's happened to them. And now look, standing here in the ashes." God has brought him to the end of himself. It's all gone. There's nothing left. Mr. Pink said, "Listen, better far to be in the midst of the black ruins of Ziklag, surrounded by a threatening mob, than to be in the ranks of the Philistines fighting against God's people." It's not peace at any cost. Someone said, "It's useless for us to expect peace upon this world when our Lord had none." Notice the timing. While David is marching back to Ziklag, the Amalekites destroyed the city. Like I said, notice that they didn't slaughter everyone. Let me read to you what David did back in chapter 27. David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive. He took away the sheep, the oxen, the ashes, the camels, and the apparel, and he returned and came to Achish. He didn't leave anybody alive. And God used those Amalekites to chasten David, but not to destroy him. David is greatly, gratefully distressed. Can you imagine? This is a man after God's own heart. As soon as this happens, did you notice when I read there, the first thing he did, he called the priest. And he inquired of God and said, "God, what am I to do?" He said, do you want me to pursue him? And he said, yeah, you pursue him, and you're going to recover all. He's not speculating. He just didn't take up arms and say, let's go get him. No, he didn't. Why not now? God's teaching him something. And you know, God teaches us, and I'm glad he does. That's why I read Isaiah 54. They shall all be taught of God. Do you think God taught David some things here? I believe he did. I'm thankful God teaches us. Teaches us. David had been acting without inquiring of the Lord. Standing among the ashes, David begins to understand what an evil and bitter thing it is to lean upon our own understanding. He's greatly distressed, and he's surrounded with sorrow. There is a way which seems right unto a man. This is, man, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to Ziklag. You sure that's what we all do, David? Yeah, I think that'll work out. Let me just go ask Gath and see if he'll give us a place. Well, he's going to give us Ziklag. He said we could have it. We got a place we can raise our family. We won't have to worry about King Saul. Everything sounds good. There's a way which seems right unto a man. But the end thereof, what's the end thereof? It's the way of death. David had to convince himself that everything he was doing was right. And he had. But when he came to that city that day, someone said, here we have the turning point in David's life. David had been struggling for a year and a half. You think about that. And now he submits. God has arranged all this to bring him to the end of all of his scheming and planning, and he's left with nothing. God's stripping him of every false hope. And God does that. Thank God he does. If you're his, he will not leave you alone. That's David. He's a man after God's own heart. He's going to be the king. Because you know what's going to happen after that battle when King Saul gets killed? They come and get David. And Samuel anoints him as king. He's king. God is going to teach David to depend upon him and him alone, and he will teach us this. He that thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. David is broken, cast down, and discouraged. What is he to do? Have you ever just looked around and said, what in the world am I going to do? That's David. What in the world? What am I going to do now? He does look around, and like I said, it's what he don't see that's encouraging. He doesn't see his family and his children. He doesn't see them laying there dead. And like I said, the only way you can explain his wives as not being killed is God showed him mercy. Now here's what I want you to see. I want you to see this. In 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, notice that little conjunction word, but. When all that has happened, and he's standing there and his heart's broke, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. What does this mean? I want you to get this. This means, in spite of all that he had done, all the lies that he had told, just like out of the blue, in spite of all this, he encourages himself in his God. In spite of all this, he remembers, you know what he remembers? That God is God. And that he's still his God. Let me read to you what Alexander McLaren said. Now listen. There's only one possession in all the world, except David's body and the clothes that he had on, that he could call his own at that moment. Everything else is gone. His property was carried off by the raiders. His home was smoldering among embers. And the Amalekites had stolen, but the Amalekites had not stolen God from him. Though he could no longer say, my house, my city, my possessions, he could say, my God. Whatever else we lose, as long as we have him, we are rich. Whatever else we possess, we are poor, as long as we have not him. God is enough. That's what he's telling him. David, God's enough. Whatever else may go, the Lord his God was the sufficient portion for this man when he stood a homeless pauper. He had lost everything that his heart clung to, his wives, his children. Abigail and Ahim were captives in the arm of some Amalekite soldier. His house was left to him desolate. His heart was bleeding. But he still had his God. You think, Danny? He goes, what am I going to do? And out of the blue, he encouraged, wait a minute. God's not changed. God's not cast me off. This is God's purpose. And he encouraged himself. How about encouraging? Nobody else is going to encourage him. God's the only one that can. And that's how God did. God's like God spoke to his heart. David is reminded of who his God is. David has changed, and we change every day. We're up one day and down the next. But now David's looking to his covenant God, the unchanging God. He's not looking to his bravery. He's not looking to his merits. All that's burned up. There's nothing left. David's relationship with God had changed, but God's relationship to David had never changed. You remember that? That's what's so amazing. I am the Lord. I change not. And therefore, because I don't change, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Do you mean that from this story that God would allow his servant to go in that place and stay there for 16 months? Yep. That God would allow all that to happen? Yep. To do what? Because he loves him. And just when he sees that it's all gone, there's one thing they can't take. The only reason David is still alive is God never changes. This is what encouraged his heart. This is where his strength lied. The word encouraged can also be translated strengthened. You know, the Bible talks about the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. It's just, I see somebody that's just give up. And all of a sudden, he strengthens himself in the Lord his God. That's grace. It's just like when I see David and the Lord took his son. And you know what David does? He gets up and goes and worships. Job, Lord took everything. And you know what Job said? The Lord gave and the Lord had taken away. He said, they can't take my God from me. They can take everything else, but they can't take him. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. You know, Jonathan, Saul's son, he loved David, and David loved him. And one time it says in 1 Samuel 23, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the wood, and he strengthened his hand in God. You know how he strengthened him? Jonathan took off all of his armor. He took down his sword and laid it down David's feet. And what he said, David, you're going to be king. No matter what my daddy does, my daddy hates you and he wants to, if he could have his way, he'd kill you. But he's not going to have his way because one day you're going to sit upon the throne and I know it. And I'm going to make a covenant with you and I want you to show mercy to my family. And that's how he encouraged or strengthens David's hand in the Lord. We all need strength. We all grow feeble and weak. This is who we are. But listen, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Paul said, when I'm weak,
I'm strong. We don't know. Everybody wants to speculate what Paul's thorn in the flesh was, and whatever someone's ailment is that's writing about, that's what they say it was, or it was arthritis, he had bad eyes, he had migraine headaches. I know what it was. Well, the Bible says it was the messenger of Satan to buffet him. But I think it was his flesh. Your thorn in the flesh is your flesh. That's your flesh. You wish you could get rid of it. You wish you didn't have to deal with it. That's why David was where he was at, because of David's flesh. He's still a man. And still a man. David realized why all this had happened. One time David said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." When he was at his wit's end, he was not at that faith's end. David's encouragement did not come from his faith, or it did not come from his repentance. David's encouragement rested upon the fact that this unchanging God is my God. That's it. That's our strength. It's Him. Listen, Isaiah 64:6. "But we're all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We do all fade like a leaf. And our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. There's none that calleth upon thy name. There's none that stirreth up himself to take hold on thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us. Thou hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord," he just described us. We fade like the leaf. "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay. And thou art potter. And we are the work of thy hand." God knows what to do to take that clay, and he just forms it. And he fashions it. And he makes it into a vessel of honor, like he did David. Took a man, chose him, set him apart, and he said, "This is what I'm going to do to make him." And he did. You think about this. Not much longer. He's not going to be in Ziklag. He's going to be sitting up on the throne of Israel. David had sinned, and he sinned horribly. But the amazing thing is that God's love for David never changed. This is what is hard for us to grasp, because we don't know anything about that kind of love. Our love is so selfish. Our love is so fickle. But to think that it never changed, never. Never. Paul said, "I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Our great God never cast off his people. You know, you think about Lot. Pitched his tent towards Sodom, winds up in Sodom, winds up on the city council of Sodom. But God's love for him ain't never changed. He just gets him. And that angel said, "Lot, we can't do anything to this place as long as you're here." Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? When we see David, what a picture we got. Everything's a mess. But God's never stopped loving him. You know the reason all this had happened? Because God did love him. I heard Henry say one time, he said, "I wouldn't treat a dog that bad." But God loves his people. He will not let them go. "What time I'm afraid," Psalms 56:3, "I'll trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." That sounds just the opposite of what he said in chapter 27, wouldn't it? "I shall one day perish by the hand of Saul." And what he says now, "I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. I'm not afraid of him." But at one time he was. David knew he had brought all this upon himself.
What's he to do? Sit around and just look at his sin? What good does that do? If you're, you know, if you look in here, what are you hoping to find? There's nothing there. From the top of our head to the sole of our foot, we're full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. David's not saying, boy, I messed up. No, he says, Abishai, come here a minute. You got the ephod? He said, yeah. He said, I need you to inquire of the Lord for me. It's amazing he had a priest. All the rest of them were killed by King Saul, remember? Killed 80 some. And he said, ask the Lord if I should go. He didn't just take up the sword and say, well, I'm going to go get him. He didn't do that. He said, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to go get him. And you know the story, that's what he did. And you know what he did? This same man recovered all. Everything. How did he do that? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. He's our strength. It's like the Lord gave Paul a thorn in the flesh to humble him, to keep him humble, because by nature we want to depend like David on the flesh. And God has to show us over and over and over again, your flesh is nothing but flesh. David saw that God's hand of love and mercy is everywhere. He wrote in Psalms 37:23, the steps, every one of them, every step, the steps of a good man, and the only reason he's good is God made him good in Christ, are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. David said, I've been young, and now am I old. He said, I've not ever seen the righteous forsaken, and they never will be, or his seed begging bread. Let me read you this by Brother Robert Halker in closing. There may be, and no doubt there is, much unworthiness, much undeserving in the best of saints. There will be changes in God's people like the ebbings and the flowings of the tide, but there is no change in the covenant security of God's love. The efficacy of this is eternally and everlastingly the same. God in Christ is an ocean that never dries, never lessens, never abates. He is a rock. His work is perfect. Lord, give me grace that whatever leanness or barrenness there may be in me, I may, like David, encourage myself in the Lord, my God. I hope that's a help.